I'm Ivy.
I'm Rachel, and we are Swords and Sapphics, a podcast all about representation, queer media, women with a capital W, and a little bit of nonsense.
So start sharpening your swords, sip your tea, and join us as we obsess over the wonderful beings that are women.
Hello.
Hello.
What are we talking about today?
Well, you're the one equipped to answer that.
That's true.
Because we are gonna continue our little series of writing and publishing journeys by talking to our marketing expert.
Aye, aye, Captain. That's me.
Yeah.
Gonna be talking about marketing.
Yeah.
Which for some, understandably, might be painful.
Painful, overwhelming, possibly the worst part about being an author.
Yeah, precisely.
Some might say, anyways.
And other chose it as their main profession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah. Yeah. I cannot answer that question.
No.
But before we get into that, what have you been reading?
What have I been reading?
Books.
I've been reading some books, which might come as a shock. I finished After Love this weekend, which is a young adult paranormal romance by Tanya Byrne, a British author. And we chose it as part of our buddy reads, but I feel I might be the only one who's actually reading it. So that's that's great.
I started it.
You did start it. Will she finish it is the question.
At some point, yes.
Yeah. It was good. It picked up definitely in the second half. For the first half, I was a bit like, maybe this is too young adult for me, which is natural because it's young adult. But I suppose that can only be a good thing because a lot of the young adult books that we read are just adult characters being framed as young adults for the purpose of marketing and success and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was sweet. It was a nice sapphic romance about like first love, and it's set in Brighton, which was nice. A nice British setting. What else? Yeah, it's about a girlie who... It's not a spoiler because it's on the blurb. She dies and she becomes a Grim Reaper. And she kind of has to navigate that while also leaving behind her first love, who she thought she'd have more time with. So it's very soft. The writing's very poetic. I really liked the writing. Yeah, I would recommend. It was a solid 4.5 out of 5 for me. And then I started Circe by Madeline Miller. And it's not too far from the Song of Achilles, to be honest. So if you liked Song of Achilles, you'll like this. The writing's very much the same. Nothing unexpected as of yet. Which can be both a good and a bad thing, because I was kind of like, oh, she's not really changed it up, has she? Yeah. But I really love Song of Achilles, so I'm looking forward to getting back into it. But it's basically a retelling of Circe and witchiness. What's the word? Witchcraft. Yeah, what else did I read? I started reading Ink Stains and Ill-Fated Lies by Kelly Doherty, who kindly gifted us an arc. To both of us, and I'm really loving that one as well. It's about sun goddesses and a sun plane and sun creatures and like kind of the darkness in the brightest of places, and the main character is a scribe, so she has to write down stories. She's kind of imprisoned there as the scribe. And she's sharing a cell with an artist, and it's sapphic. And it's just, it's really good writing, like really easy to read, but also at the same time, really like stunning and impressive. So I would definitely recommend if you're looking for a sapphic fantasy. And it's not too long either. I'm getting through it pretty quickly because I'm really enjoying it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I went to Cornwall a couple of weeks ago and I took Book Lovers With Me by Emily Henry. And to be honest, I wasn't expecting that much because for some reason I can never get into like commercialized mass heterosexual romance. Like they're fine for me, but I never really get too attached to them. Like I can take them or leave them. But this one was a really nice romance. It wasn't also just focused on romance. It was also focused on the relationship the protagonist had with her sister. And it was just very dreamy because they're both like witty intellectuals and they have great banter and they're kind of enemies to lovers or enemies and lovers. And it's really big proof that you can have a fucking rom-com and still have angst and sadness and a little bit of hurt in there because the writing is hilarious. But there's also some like deeper themes. And I was like, see? See, yes. Book community, you can have rom-coms that have sad parts in them. Yeah. But it was a really good beach read. So I naturally got all of Emily Henry's books after that, except for Happy Place, because it's not out in the same size paperback that I want it yet. Which is another issue entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and I did finish Chaos, which is the third installment of Hayley Anderson's Apocalypse series. It was another good one. If you like zombies and you like young adult, you'll like this one. It's very reminiscent of like The Walking Dead, and it also kind of reminds me of Shaun of the Dead for all the Britishness in it, you know, the spoof one. But yeah, there's some really great strong characters, and there's a conversation about like bisexuality and lesbianism and asexuality, and so all the plenty of characters to kind of identify with on that side. And I'm just really enjoying it. They're really quick novellas to read, and there's always something new in each one.
Yeah. Unrelated, but the word lesbianism always like reminds me of like exorcism or something related to that.
Yeah.
It's the ism at the end that just always makes me giggle.
I don't know. Is that even the right word for it? I don't know. It didn't sound right to just say conversations about lesbian.
Yeah.
It must be lesbianism.
I think it would be correct.
Lesbianity.
It always makes me feel like it's connected to something like some witchcraft.
Yeah.
Or something sinister.
I get it. Yeah. And yeah, that's me all caught up. I started Two Wrongs Make a Right by Chloe Liez last night because I found that whenever I take a book from my pile and put one in the gap where I can see it from my bed, I'm more enticed to read the one that is looking directly at me. So basically, I'm picking up every book that is there and ignoring all the rest.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do. It is what it is.
But I only just started it, but I already got my autism rep and I felt very seen by both the anxiety and the autism. I feel like this book is my book. It was made. It was written for me, by me.
I can't recommend Chloe Liez's books enough because they're just phenomenally loving and good and they have all different representation and it's just so gentle and beautiful and I love it very much.
Yeah, it's another sunny day today, so I think that will be what I'm reading outside, along with the arc.
Beautiful, beautiful.
But yeah, it's a good day. We should have started by announcing our Prideversary, but never mind.
It is what it is.
We'll do it after we've talked about this.
Yeah.
What are you reading?
First of all, I've been reading.
She's been reading.
It's always nice change. So I read King of Wrath by Anna Huang, which is her new smutty series, which is related to the first one. It was good. It was arranged marriage. I got it all. I got Don't Touch My Wife, you know. I got it all. It was great. Then I got an arc from Marshall J. Moore, Son of Sailor, which is a cozy pirate tale. And it was so damn cute. It already came out like 2 days ago, I believe, or more. And it was just pirates. Just hanging around. Huh?
What more do you need?
Exactly. There was a Suffolk pirate. It was about from like the POV of the captain and like his dad died. So he went back to his home island. And, you know, at one point he and his and the Suffolk pirate had a bet to seduce some lady. She won. I love it. And that's how you write a light ship.
Amazing.
Anyway, it was real fun. There was a mermaid. She was everything to me. I really recommend it. It was really fun, really good, very cozy, very piratey, especially for summer. I believe that's a perfect read.
Beautiful.
Then I stayed on the cozy fantasy and I read Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies. And y'all, it was without a doubt one of the best books I've read, not only this year but ever. The writing was so good. Everything about the book was so good. It's about like a professor who goes to some Nordic little village to study fairies, the local fairies.
Is it Nordic?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me it was Nordic.
Well, it she goes to like a Nordic place.
No, I know, she's but you British. Didn't tell me that.
I might have. I think I did. Because I mentioned it's one of the Scandinavia parts, and you giggled at that for some reason, and I don't remember why.
Because you didn't say Scandinavia, you said something else.
Oh, well, there you go.
You said something else.
So you're laughing at my second language?
Yeah.
Are you making fun of me for not knowing my second language, Bill?
Yes. I think we've established that this is something I will do.
That's true. That's true. Anyway, it was really good. It was really, 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 really good. Then I read To Love Jason Thorne by Ella Macy. It was a romance. It was fine. I could survive without it. I enjoyed it a lot, but I mean, I could survive without it.
Yeah. That's how I feel about most popular romances. Mm. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, fine. This one, the thing is, I read Marriage for One from her, and I love that. But this is a little older, and I could do it without the misogyny there. That would, yeah. And commas! She missed so many commas. I did complain about it already to you.
Yeah,
it was horrendous. Anyway,
yeah, that inspired a whole conversation about commas and where commas go in Ivy's language and where they go in my language, and it was a whole thing.
Yeah, and that's how we spend one of our evenings. Thank you. We're very fun people.
Yeah.
Then I read A Witch's Guide to Fake Dating a Demon by Sarah Hawley. It's about a witch who was prophesied to be one of the strongest in her family, but she's not very good at magic, except the plant magic. And she accidentally summons a demon. And to explain his existence in the town, they're like fake dating. The thing is, when I was reading it, I was like, oh my god, they're fake dating. I was so surprised and so excited. And the book is called A Witch's Guide to Fake Dating a Demon. And for an entire day, I was so like giddy about the fact that they're fake dating.
This is happening very often for you at the moment. Like with The Lion King as well.
Yes. Honestly.
Quite fascinating to see.
Imagine living in my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do the same thing because I don't read the blurbs. So I text you really surprised about things and you're like, yeah, did you not read the blurb? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, I don't read the blurb either most of the time. But this was a title that feels somehow even more embarrassing. And the way I realized it was when I was on Instagram and the writer posted a picture and I liked it. And I was like, wait a minute.
Hey, wait a minute.
Precisely. And I immediately went to text you. And apparently it was the, I liked the picture that was like a giveaway. And then you were like, are you gatekeeping? And
she was gatekeeping the giveaway.
I didn't even notice it was a giveaway. I was too in shock of my own stupidity. So like, I was on a whole another roller coaster of like emotions and shit. Honestly.
Yeah.
Right. From this genre, I went to a little different one, you know. And I read A Downing of Blood by S.T. Gibson, which is very dark, very gothic retelling of Dracula's brides, or well, brides' consorts. It's queer, it's polyamorous, it's really dark. So the writing, first of all, is extremely poetic. It's amazing. I want every single line tattooed on my skin. It was really, really good. Mm-hmm. And it's like written, Constanta is one of the first brides of his in the story. And she, the first thing like she says is that she killed him. Like, that's not a spoiler, that's the plot. And then the book is basically letters from her to the Dracula, and it's her confession. And why she did it and when she decided and stuff like that. And because he was very abusive and controlling, mentally abusive, and each of the consorts were different personally wise, so he had to use different things to do to control them. And it was really fascinating to see. And also from like the point of view of the one bride, and then watching how he applies different technique to different people. Like, it was just very good. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
I read it until 4 a.m. Now I get what people were saying about it.
And now it's an issue because I won it.
And then I read Vision and the Scarlet Witch that I got from my only. It's a collection of a few comic books starring Vision and the Scarlet Witch. Yeah, it was good. It was from 1980. I mean,
yeah.
Marvel comic books in 1980 weren't famously something amazing, so.
No. They're fine.
Yeah. But I did get me some poetic Vision lines, so. Mm-hmm. I'm happy there. And I started reading The Witch and the Vampire by Francesca Flores. That, once again, I got for my birthday from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started reading that last night. Yeah, that one is sapphic. It's about a witch and a vampire.
No!
Yeah!
This is shocking.
I was also surprised. I didn't know.
I bet you were with your track record.
You know what? It reminds me somehow of when I said that I was watching the video about the three types of ADHD, but I didn't stick long enough to listen to the third type.
Oh, yeah. And I said, well, that's convenient because the first type is inattentiveness.
It was long video. I just didn't think I could do it.
I mean, it's unrealistic to expect someone with ADHD to watch a long video about ADHD, I feel like.
You know what? There is a girly with her ADHD girly with her husband who do like a scenes. They are acting out the ADHD. I like that. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Also, she's extremely, there's just something about her that makes you want to watch her forever and ever.
Yeah.
But if you're like lecturing me, you lost me already.
Well, do you not think that's a kind of way of like withholding, it's the way to talk around people with ADHD instead of to people with ADHD.
Yeah, it could be.
Like, it's a way to kind of, what's the word? Like, what's the word? Pathologize it to other doctors and professionals, but never really address the ADHD person.
It's true, yeah. I never think about that one, but yeah.
It just came to me then.
What?
Because there's no way that they thought, oh, well, if this is a symptom of ADHD, they're going to watch it all the way through.
Yeah.
Like,
especially in like the boring monotone lecturing thing. I have to be in the mood to listen to that. Otherwise, I'm just scrolling away.
It feels like a way to talk to like adults with children who have ADHD or other doctors who work in that criteria, but never actually address. And then that kind of leads to the marginalization of us, of people with ADHD.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
It's true.
That's
true.
Because it's the same with autism. When I Google symptoms, it's always like, my child has autism, or what to know as a parent with a child who has autism. And I think it's becoming clearer that as like we progress as a society, that a lot of people weren't diagnosed as kids and are now figuring out all on their own because they never had that support. Just so while it's good that parents have resources as well, they're more common than resources for people, adults with autism.
There was some article about how now there are so many people with ADHD being like diagnosed, and then they were like started. Some people were like, we cannot give them no longer medication because it's too many people. And I'm like, two points, two dots here, not connecting. Yeah. What the fuck? Like,
perhaps it's something to do with society and not just the need for medication.
Yeah.
But the BBC did like a watchdog where somebody pretended that they had ADHD, like an undercover reporter, because they think that everyone's faking it and they wanted to see how easy it was to fake it. And it's like, there is nobody in the world who would willingly jump through the hoops that you have to be diagnosed. And I'm not even that far into kind of trying to get a diagnosis, and I already just feel a bit like giving up because I've realized that most people don't actually get the support they need even with a diagnosis. So, yeah.
And also, like, the fact that people are, like, pushing it away from, because of all of that, pushing it away from the diagnosis, it's also, once again, like, like people will not go get the help they need in the first place. Like it's such a vicious circle.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are not suffering.
Yeah. Exactly. And it just makes it worse because especially when it impacts your mental health as well, you're just like, well, there's no point even trying, and like nobody's ever gonna help you. And it's like a really bleak reality to face. Anyway, we digress. Quite a lot. What have we been watching then?
I've been watching Once Upon a Time. I've been rewatching it. One thing, look, I expected it to not be good. One thing I did not expect is to be strangely sometimes attracted to Rumpelstiltskin when he wears black and his human form. That one sneaked up on me.
No.
It happened twice. It was like weird flashes. I did not expect that one.
I mean, I guess it is not as rare as you think, because back in the day, there were plenty of Rumpelstiltskin accounts around me anyways. Yeah, like, because of Belle as well, they was obsessed with the ship.
Oh, yeah, I was obsessed with the ship, too, but I enjoyed him just because he was, like, absolutely unhinged, and I loved it. But now, when there was the flashback of him going into the war before, like, he hurt himself and he was all in black armor. And then in Neverland, once again, he was all in black and then had the, like, war paint on his face. And I was like, yeah, I got it.
No. I can't get behind this one, I'm afraid. Especially not the way he acts. Ivy does a really great impression of it.
Always sends me it's so fun. It's so fun. Amazing. I loved when in Neverland, when was one of the last boys, he was like the dark one, and he did the hand thing all with an eye roll. It was so funny. Honestly, it sent me. Anyway, yeah, that's what I've been watching. I also sadly want to see Fast and Furious 10, Fast 10, X, whatever you call it. I didn't really, look, I love the movies. I just love these stupid action movies, okay? I do. I was watching a few interviews on TikTok that of the cast, and I'm convinced they live in entirely different realities separate from our own. The delusion that they have is something that I honestly envy them, because what a life it is. But you know, when the movie lost me, and now in this movie they lost me, and when that happens, that is I feel sort of like, okay, we if we can keep her, then we're done. Like I'm entertained by everything, you know that. I'm very easy to please in that. But this was no. The writing was the worst I've ever seen. They got these big stars, but like, no, did not help them. Anyway, Jason Momoa was the only one who like carried the movie on his shoulders. He was very unhinged. He put bloodied knife into his mouth and sucked it, and I was like, okay.
She's a simple woman.
I'm a simple woman. Give me Rumpelstiltskin in black. Give me Jason Momoa licking bloody knife. You've got me. But once a dude with his 8-year-old son, or how old was he, is like, you forgot you didn't take one thing of mine. My car. And then he punches it and goes from like a dam when everything is blowing around him, and he goes down the dam and he's surrounded by fire, and at that point he turns the thing that like makes him drive faster, but it's an I feel oxygen or something in like the oxygen tank, which I'm certain would blow up if I was near.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What a wild ride.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever had the desire to watch it.
Until now, it was good. It was great.
No. Oh, dear. Anyway,
what have you been watching?
Grey's, again.
Mm.
We've been watching Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah.
We only have one episode left.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a really good season for the queers, though.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Isaac coming out, and Colin. Is he called Colin?
It's Colin and Isaac.
Who the fuck's the Isaac then?
The captain, his friend.
How Colin then? All right, that's why you didn't know who I was talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, we've had Colin coming out, and Keely had her girlfriend, although that didn't end that well. Yeah, it's been a good old season.
Yeah,
it has, and I'll be sad to see it end if this is the last one, which everyone believes it will be.
Look, the thing is, I will lose something very precious when it ends. However, I'd rather see it end on its own.
Absolutely. Than like
go forever for no reason and ruin characters. And the usual way the things, you know, shows go.
Yeah. I've literally never stood by Ted's choice to even stay in the UK, because he has a son. Like, I hate men who think they're allowed to do that, because a woman would never be able to do that. Like, so I wouldn't be mad if it did end that way and he went back to Kansas to be a decent dad. Oh, but I'm afraid that I also really like Ted and Rebecca, and I'm rooting for them.
Fuck them kids, and fuck you too.
Yeah. If it means he gets with Rebecca, I guess I can live happily. But I don't think he will. It's sounding like he's gonna go home.
No, yeah, I feel like they sort of setting up the entire season to
do that.
You could feel it from the beginning, like that.
And there's not much that left for him to do now, because he's figured out how to train them the best he can, and they're doing really well with the scores and in their games, and they've all overcome all of like the arcs that they needed, like Jamie especially, and just everybody. It's looking like the end. It's sad, but we have to move on. Anyway, what else have I been watching? I don't think I've been watching that much. I just keep going flicking between X-Files and The Walking Dead. Queen Charlotte.
Oh yeah, I watched that too.
We watched Queen Charlotte.
Yeah. I'm still broken from the show, you know. But
yeah.
It was
I would say it's between, in the ranking, Kate and Anthony come first, and then George and Charlotte, and then the mess that was Daphne and Simon. But it was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a content warning though, because there is a black woman who gets raped several times throughout the series. And a lot of people, of course, understandably, are not good with that, because they already got backlash for doing that with Simon and Daphne.
Right.
Okay.
Before we get to the main subject, let's talk about our Pride anniversary.
Yay! Let's do it.
Because this episode goes out on the last day of May, and tomorrow I'm kicking off with my birth, the Pride Month.
A birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, that was implied.
It sounded like you were ready to come out the womb, but...
I am, again.
She's already here.
Do you remember in One Day at a Time when what's her name? Rita Moreno came out of the class and was like, Elena, this is how you come out. That will be me.
Again.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, we are hosting a month-long event for our Prideversary. We're celebrating a whole year of doing this podcast. Our official birthday is on the 20th. So we have lots of authors lined up to take part with us. We have interviews and guest pieces and lots of giveaways. So be sure to follow our Instagram. And I have designed some special bookmarks especially as well. So we'll be giving out some of them.
Yes.
But yeah, we're very excited. We have lots planned. So make sure to follow us on our social medias, because we'll be very active through the month, and it's very exciting.
It is.
And it's a great opportunity to find new queer authors to read for Pride Month and every month afterwards.
Exactly. So let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Let's talk about marketing.
Let me take my water bottle and drink some water.
You've written a book. You've published a book.
Yeah.
What comes next?
What now? So the first things first, the most important thing before you start doing anything is to figure out who is your target group in the first place, from age to gender to sexuality to hobbies to even like geolocation, as detailed as possible, because then it will be much easier for you to market, of course.
Yeah.
And hand in hand goes sort of the selling point. So is it tropes? Is it that it's Suffolk, that it's Achillean, that it has this representation or that? At this point, like, basically you as a writer is a brand, and the book is your product. And that's how you sort of have to approach it.
Yeah.
And, you know, then, of course, social media is your greatest helper. The thing is with Instagram and Facebook especially is that
those two platforms are basically now run with money. So if you're not going to put money into it, which I don't recommend, with books especially, you will not get much visibility with organic posts. Mm-hmm. Twitter is completely different story, of course, and TikTok is the like reality of its own. Yeah. And at this point, TikTok is your best bet. TikTok is very complicated with it, that you have to be really quick to hop on the trends. And it's really about the quickness and of using the sounds that are, you know, being currently trending.
Because my publisher was talking about TikTok and they didn't know how to make like a successful video. And, you know, like a lot of it is watching what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. And if a song's like, for instance, Lizzie McAlpine's Ceilings was, it still is, but it was a huge thing for a couple of weeks. So you kind of just have to jump on them, see what you can do with them.
Even like jump on the memes, like with Pedro Pascal, there was a lot of memes. Still is, with him crunching his little toes and being like, what you talking about? All of that is still on.
What are you talking
about? Exactly.
What do you mean?
So all of these memes are always the best fun thing to jump on.
Yeah.
And really, yeah, you have to be vigilant and take in all the information that you can get from the current trends and of course hashtags.
It's the same with Twitter. Like at the minute, the best way to kind of entice people in is by listing the tropes in the tweet or making an arrow chart of them in a graphic and it's literally just things that people are looking for, like sapphic romance, like single dad, enemies to lovers, hate to love, and you know, try to make it fun as well. Like I always put what random animal I've got in my books, like three-legged cat, because there's always something.
Then of course, you know, website is always very useful, just to sort of make you look more trustworthy, sort of give you that impression of, again, of like being someone who even exists in the first place and not being a scam.
Mm-hmm.
And on your website, there should be some, of course, bio and list of your books and links on website. And if you're heading from the website, you always need the settings to be turned on for the link to open on a new window.
Yeah.
That's...
And also it's handy to have a universal book link just so that all your links are in one place. And you can also do it on Linktree now where you list the title of your book and you can get a drop down where people can choose the retailer of their choice.
Yeah, exactly. And then influencers. Those are, you know, I pushed Rachel into it. Influencers are your biggest friends. Yeah. They're for free, of course, for the price of your book, any arc, or send them a physical arc, that's up to you. That's just the most organic and most cheap and just the best way to get your book out there. Because I mean, look at yourself. What is it that makes you decide to want to buy a book? Other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So picking up influencers can be quite difficult because, of course, of their... One thing is who they are and what they're reading, and then the thing is their audience. Again, now that your target group comes in handy. So, for example, when I was picking influencers for Rage, I had to make sure that they are reading on their Kindle, that they're not reading only physical books, that they're reading more like smaller authors, indie, not only the mainstream, that they already read arcs, that they already have posts that sort of tells you, okay, here I got a book from this author, here from this. And then they're reading, of course, the genre.
Yeah.
Which is sapphic with plus size representation and all that.
Mm-hmm. Just be prepared that you will have to give a lot of free copies mm-hmm. out, because obviously people don't necessarily or aren't enticed to kind of support a new author because they don't know what to expect yet. They don't know if it's any good. So the best thing that you can do is offer free ARCs. It doesn't necessarily have to be the biggest influence in the world. They can just mm-hmm. be Goodreads reviewers or like people who are willing to leave a review on Amazon. Anywhere where you can get reviews, whether they have a big following or not, it is a good way to start. Because once you hit 50 reviews on Amazon, you get more visibility anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you can already have a few before publication day, if you can offer ARCs before it's time for the book to come out, that's even better because people have already read it and will recommend it from the get-go.
Exactly. That's another thing. As you mentioned, you don't have to go to big influencers. Your main point, like what you need, is extend your community and where your book is being seen. So yeah. If you're going to keep putting, like promoting the book only to your followers, you will never go higher than that. Like mm-hmm. it's possible, but not really, like not really probable.
Mm-hmm.
My dog bit.
So, and you can also use websites for that to distribute ARCs. Like I mm-hmm. use Booksprout. It's good because obviously I tweet about it and my followers go to grab an ARC, but your books are also findable on the website itself. So I often get like usernames I've never heard of and people mm-hmm. I've never heard of before. And then of course, like if somebody sees a review on Goodreads and it's a good one, they're more likely to look into it themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. One thing with like the website, like Booksprout and others, is that their sale settings is phenomenal. So if, mm-hmm. which means it's basically search engine, searching for your book through search engine, so like through Google. So if they yes. would put the name of your book into the search engine, like these type of websites would be on the top with Goodreads and Amazon. You yeah. want your website to be there, of course, but that takes, of course, a lot of work and a lot of time.
And sometimes you can also, yeah, you can also set the terms. So like if you want people to review on an external website, you can set that as a rule. Mm-hmm. So you're more likely to get reviews on like Amazon or Goodreads or wherever you think it's best to kind of get those reviews in.
Mm-hmm. Or I feel like this one is paid, isn't it?
I pay like, I think it's £10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get all the features because it's a cheaper plan.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking also of sort of a free option to offer ARCs is that you would distribute it yourself through like Google mm-hmm. Forms. Those are the best always to go.
Yeah.
And you can send out yourself, but of course you take a little bit of the visibility away.
Yeah. And I think BookFunnel also does ARCs, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never tried it. I think they have a discount on last time I looked, so it might mm-hmm. be worth looking into that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And then of course other writers, especially if you're indie, other indie, we've talked about it a yeah. little bit last time.
Yeah.
You want to get into the community and read before you even publish, but especially after.
Yeah. Swap in newsletter features. A lot of authors are willing to do that. Like if you feature their book in your newsletter, they'll
mm-hmm.
kind of do yours as well.
Yeah, and then again, in websites, like on blog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of trial and error, and I'm mm-hmm. still, like, learning as well, because, like, I still don't, and especially with the new algorithms, it's really, really difficult to find your people, because it used to be really easy on Twitter to do that, like, mm-hmm. but at the minute, it's very contained because of the way that social media runners want it to be. Yeah. So it's just really trying to extend beyond your circles
mm-hmm.
and doing it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, and book tours. are also really, you can sign up with book tour companies and, you know, hosters to kind of get your book on book tours. So it goes through different reviews and reviewers and accounts and blogs each day, which means you end up with like a whole month's worth of reviews behind you, which is another great thing to do.
Yeah.
And just really looking at what other people offer, because even now, like, I find people have links in their bio so that you can fill out a form and then they're aware of you then. Like, for instance, a good resource if you write sapphic books in particular is I Heart Sapphic. You can apply to be part of their database so that you're then searchable, and it holds like all the sapphic books you can find, basically. So just really, like, you do, it is time consuming and you do have to really have a keen eye, and you don't always have the energy to do it, but it does help in the long run just to get it wherever you can find it.
Another thing is your sort of community management, and that is replying to tweets and posts, to your own and others. Be very active with people. Sort of bond, find mutuals that, again, you could swap books with, or that would help promote you and stuff like that. It's basically another full-time job.
It is, and you also really have to support other authors, because if you're not doing that, then authors are not going to want to support you. Yeah. Like, it's not a one-way system, like, especially in the indie community, especially. You want to give and take in equal measures.
Yes. Then graphics, which can be sore subject to some, because sometimes I don't see things that... Anyway. again, you are a brand, so you need to have sort of a brand manual. You have to have brand colors. You have to have brand font that would connect to your website and other posts. So, and each book would have different color schemes. But overall, if you're going to put two graphics next to each other, you need to know, just from the graphical point of, that it goes together.
Yeah.
One thing of like a perfect branding is, if I'm gonna give you a bottle from like Coca-Cola without the label, you will know it's Coca-Cola bottle. That's what you want from your graphics and for your books.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't feel like your graphic is your strong suit, pay someone else. Either we have here our own personal graphic designer, or like freelance graphic designers. They can usually create you, also, first of all, they can create the brand for you, the logo, the color schemes, fonts, all of that together. They can create it for you with some like templates and stuff in a bundle just for one time.
Or, and in the long run, it might work out cheaper, because I pay like £100 a year for Bookbrush, which is how I get, you know, like visuals of my paperbacks and ebooks, and those pictures where the photo looks really natural in the photograph, like it's in a setting, and you can insert your book into the image, like it's so like someone's holding it or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And then I pay £10 a month. No, is it £10 a month? I can't remember how much I pay for Canva, but for the premium, you can get it for free, but it doesn't offer a big range of graphics and illustrations and things, so it's always better to get the premium for that.
Yeah.
So if you know you're not someone who's great at graphics and you don't really want to be wasting money on graphic sites just to get kind of the same graphics that don't really look that great anyways, you may as well pay someone else to do it. It will work out the same, or even cheaper maybe.
Yeah. And the same goes really for the cover. You know, don't judge book by a cover, but who doesn't?
Yeah.
If the cover is not good, I'm not getting it.
I've changed my covers so many times as I've learned more about designing them.
Yeah.
I've ended up changing them very often.
But I have them all.
She does. Another thing is being aware of things that can help. Like, say if you enroll in KU, that's great. And it also means you get to do more promotions through Amazon, like price promotions and whatnot. So maybe like paid ads through that is okay. Oh, also BookBub is a great place for that. I've only done a paid promotion once for £50 and I earned it all back. I didn't earn much more than that. So it's kind of, again, like trial and error and not expecting too much because it doesn't always work out, unfortunately.
The thing with advertising and like marketing in general is that you very rarely get it all back at the time.
Yeah.
You have to look at it in the long run. So if you want to put money into your ads, you have to do it long term. Mm-hmm. Like otherwise then it's just a waste of money. So yes. If you want to advertise it on social media, again, like it has to be constant. It has to be also retargeting on your website can also be done. So if someone will go into your website, they will click yes on cookies, meaning you can get sort of them. And then once they leave the website, they will get targeted ads on them from the book that they just viewed, if you have more, or you in general.
Yeah.
However, I didn't see it done a lot with specific writers, only the book sellers. And I'm not I did see a few like posts on stories on Insta stories that were paid. And I was a little icky about it for some reason. It felt wrong to me. I don't know why.
Because it's never the authors that end up benefiting. Yeah.
That too, yeah.
It's icky when I get reviewers DMing me asking for money to review my book.
Okay, so that's a whole discussion because you don't have to pay your reviewers.
No.
First of all, the book is payment. I would understand like a big people asking for a little bit of money, but they're usually getting paid from the publishers or through PR boxes. Yeah. Like really big people. We're talking about 1,000 following and more with thousands and thousands of reactions on one post.
Just like know your worth more than anything. Like
yes.
You should not be paying one individual to review your work. Like I get why you would pay to have like a book tour or something like that, but one individual, the only way you need to pay them is through your book. A free book is your payment. Like you labored over that book. You've given enough.
Yes. Yeah.
Another thing is hosting the occasional giveaway is always helpful because you know that's how you kind of get more followers enticed. Always set the rule that they tag a friend because then you have more people coming in than you had before. And I always personalize. If I give out arcs or prizes for the giveaway, I always like personalize it as much as I can. Like when I have time, I do my watercolor little slip saying thank you and please review, and you know, kindly nudge people for reviews, especially if you're giving out free copies, because obviously reviewers are not like your slaves or anything, but at least kindly just make sure that they're aware that the reviews could really help.
All of it, you should also start with sort of like a strategy, because like plan it again like long term. Because social media, there you need to have sort of, you can't post every once in a while, it has to be constant. Same days ideally, just to sort of get the algorithm going.
Oh, and you know what else? Don't comment on people's tweets where they're not asking for recs with your links.
Yeah.
Like, be very polite about the way you're promoting. Like, there's nothing wrong with promoting your book anywhere, except for if you're replying to someone else's tweet, just entering their space and kind of forcing a link down their throat, because that's just, again, this is a community. And like, if all you do is tweet your links and you don't engage with people or even just with the trends, people are just like, they need to know there's a person behind the brand, that they're not just investing in a cold, like, hearted, non-participating person who doesn't really care about other people in the community.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It can be a very, like, intimate space to be in. Mm-hmm. And that's, at the end of the day, like, you just have to support everybody.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll feel like you're giving more than you're getting. And that, unfortunately, that's the reality of it.
Oh, I also forgot the woman in history once again. I forgot forgotten woman. Oh, poo.
If you're traditionally published, be aware that the majority of the marketing should be coming from the publisher. Like, also, you should not be paying for any promotions if you're with a traditional publisher. That's their job. They have a marketing department for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, you need to do your bit, because the publisher themselves, especially if they're kind of a smaller company, then, you know, they're not a big five. Mm-hmm. They can't do it on their own, but also just
should do something.
Don't act like it's your job to be doing the entire marketing, because they have a team for that. Which, funnily enough, I can't remember if I talked about it last time, but a Penguin author was saying that they were never promoted by the publisher, and I was like, all that fucking money that they have, all that, like, influence they have, the biggest publisher.
Yeah.
And they're not being marketed. Like, they're not being promoted. They do, a lot of publishers do set authors up to fail sometimes. Like, if they don't think they're going to be moving mountains and making millions, they won't bother. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
It's just, it is a lot of trial and error, and don't expect to see your sales move. And also be aware that you'll have, like, peaks and troughs with sales, because at the minute, I'm having a really slow month. I got the most sales, actually, was with Saving the Star. And that was the first book where I put, like, a subtitle in. Like, I put a sapphic bodyguard romance novella in the subtitle, and that really helped. So that might be worth doing, because then people can see what it is, and it comes right up away, when you type in the keywords. And then once you kind of make it into the top 100 rankings, you'll see sales move a little bit on Amazon, especially. Especially with, like, more niche genres, like lesbian romance. I found if I'm in the top 100, then I quickly move through the ranks. It's just getting there that's difficult.
Yeah. Again, it's such a long run type of thing. Like, your goal is to sort of go slightly up every once in a while.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be like one ad immediate proof.
You can request your books to be held in libraries and bookstores, or have your friends do it, whatever. Just really, like, getting as much into the community as you can, both, like, online and also in person. Like, seeing about if your books can be stocked by indie booksellers, spreading the word.
Yeah.
Local groups, Facebook groups and stuff like that.
Book clubs. Also, I've noticed, quite a few Discords for readers.
Yeah.
And podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Podcasts. A lot of podcasts look for guests. We're quite bad with it because neurodivergence. And it does take a lot of energy from our week to kind of have to plan more than we already do.
But we do love having the website.
But yeah, there's always podcasts looking for guests, because obviously that's kind of a two-way reward, where the podcasters get more attention as well.
Yeah, but even just from, like, guest pieces and interviews, all of that is just, even if a little bit, that is what you want.
And events like the ones that we run, where, you know, like, people with giveaways and even just, like, feature days, discounts, things like that, getting involved in community events, we did the Indie Author Spring Festival and the Indie Advent, and we did Queermas. Mm-hmm. Just because if other people are participating, then they will follow you as well. So yep. it is kind of like a little circle that you end up with, and it expands the more events you find. And it's just a really great way to get into a community in the first place if you're not mm-hmm. in one already.
Yeah.
Pitch events are mm-hmm. good for Twitter. There are some events that you can enter if you've already been published, just for readers to find your book. So it's worth looking out for that. There's Pitlight and things like that. Also, if you're not at the stage yet and you are going to bring a book out, the sooner that you get on social media and start documenting your process and sharing things with people, the better. Mm-hmm. Because you want that community there before the book comes out, yeah. ideally, not mm-hmm. after. Oh, and comp titles that you can use for comparisons, like what books are like your books, like what kind of fans will like your book.
We had that last time. I'm still giggling because we figure out Mamma Mia means James Bond or something like that.
Oh, yeah! Okay. Oh, yeah, because we talked about it with the pitches as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That one's still... Yeah, anyway.
What if James Bond had three dads and went to Greece?
Found them on island.
Yeah, it's not easy, man. No. But I can't think of anything else.
Me either. Look, I'm always happy to help with anything.
Oh, yeah. But let's know. We're now offering our services, mm-hmm. or soon we'll be offering our services. Ivy will be offering marketing services, consultations, website building, all the good stuff that will help you. So if you're looking for guidance and all of this sounds a bit overwhelming, and you'd prefer like a one-on-one and a step-by-step kind of guide, it might be useful to hire our dear Ivy.
Yes. Even with influencers, like, just searching for them can be very time-consuming. I'm happy to take on that burden just because I'm already sort of started building my own personal database for you. So yes. I'm happy to start building one for you guys too.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to be done, and I'm sure I'm forgetting many of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
it never ends is the thing. Like, there is no end to it. It's something you have to keep doing, and that's the most exhausting part about being an author, because it never stops when you release the book. You never get to really take a breath, because you want people to keep doing it.
Yeah,
building your back catalog is another great one. Like, I get more sales now because I was published with Embla. Mm-hmm. So people who like my books go to my back catalog, the books that I've published before, and I can see that impact there. So the more books that you have out, the better, because if a reader likes your work, they'll go to the other ones. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to have that.
Even strange that I threw out genres, because once again, those are different, like, sort of target groups, and your goal would be ideally to sort of mesh them all together for you.
We didn't mention newsletters.
Yeah.
It's also good to kind of offer a free incentive, like a free short story. So if you have anything like that lying about, that would be another good one.
Yeah, make sure again that you start doing that once, you know, either announce your blog posts, announce your books, use that newsletter as just another channel. But if you will have like a longer period between books, be sure to like send out an email or two, just sort of keep in touch.
Yeah.
Because then it's a surprise. And apparently I started subscribing to someone. I don't remember it. And I'm a little worried it's spam. And now I'm terrified of subscribing it just because I'm terrified of pushing the button. Anyway. Yeah.
And the final thing, you're going to get emails from annoying spam saying, say whatever the book title is, do you want to reach more followers and readers? Don't fucking do it. Just delete them, report it as spam, and block them, because they're really annoying. And it's just not how it works.
And that's that, I guess.
That is that. Yeah. But as we said, marketing is hard. That's also kind of the reason why we try our best to kind of spread the word with our monthly releases. So if you do have a release due out this year, let us know what month, because we do monthly releases at the beginning of every month for any queer author that we can find. Mm-hmm. So again, do let us know, do reach out. Yes. We do accept ARCs if the book is something that we find interesting.
If it's for us, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
though it's hard. Me with ARCs is sorry in itself. Yeah.
Really, I should say I accept ARCs.
Yeah, I like them. I'm excited to read them. But me and Kindle, we have complicated relationship.
He really picks up her Kindle is the problem.
That's a problem.
But when she does, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least one of us will read it if we wanna. So that's great. And we're always offering spaces for authors mm-hmm. to do guest pieces and interviews, whether we've read your book or not. Like mm-hmm. as many voices as we can get, we want.
Yeah, exactly.
The next month will be dedicated to Prideversary. There's still actually some spaces if you do want to, if you're listening to this now and you kind of want to be involved, we have a couple spaces here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're not actively looking for any more, but we have some to offer.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
Good luck with your book. Yeah. And happy Pride Month for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And happy birthday to our favorite co-host, Ivy. The 1st of June.
Yay. Forever Yay. Child. Forever queer child. That's yeah. me. I really, honestly, if I'm born on the first day of Pride Month and International Children's Day, do I really have a fighting chance? And the Gemini season? I was doomed from the start, man.
Yeah. Look, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
My I like all my birthdays as well because it's the day before the beginning of autumn.
Mmm, very magical. Very magical.
I was made for it. I was yeah. made for autumn.
Yeah. Which is weird because I hate summer. So it's weird that it's technically not summer, it's still technically spring, but like it makes yeah. no sense. However, again, Children's Day, Pride Month.
Pride Month. You can't really ask for a better one.
No, no. Gemini.
Yeah. Fun fact, I'm a Gemini moon.
Yes.
We both have Geminis in us.
Imagine
how that turns out.
Mm. Yeah. And this us here is very subdued. When we are unhinged, we're unhinged.
We need to start recording all hours of the day because I feel like we're better at it when we're not actively trying.
Yeah. And the lengths we get to is so funny to me.
Yeah.
A few nights ago, I pronounced some words that made Rach laugh, and then I opened a list of Czech towns and cities, and for the next hour, she was trying to pronounce that.
Yeah.
That's how we entertain each other these days.
Yeah. Honestly, when I think, I always find that most friendships go quite boring really fast. Like, there's not much more to do with people. Like, you learn about them and then kind of just sustain it, and that's that. We find something fucking wild and new every night. It's quite the journey.
Honestly, every single night. It's so funny to me.
Yeah. Who knows what tonight will hold?
You never know.
We didn't talk about games. We'll talk about games next week.
Oh, yeah.
We've been playing a lot of games.
It's true.
And a reminder to join our Discord chat. It's for anybody and everybody. You don't have to have listened to our podcast, although mm-hmm. if you must be listening to it now to know.
Mm.
But I've created a paradox.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's for everybody. Yeah,
and we have a lot of people now there at this point, which is great. We're more yeah. active there, which is amazing.
We have resources for authors, we have sprints and updates and chats, and it's just a very casual place to be. And our buddy reads, of course. Mm-hmm. So if you've read After Love, maybe you can join me in talking about it, because nobody else has.
Yeah. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, well, until next time, make sure to...
Oh, support women's rights.
But most importantly, support women's wrongs, as my tea fruit says.
Yeah. Even if they drop... No, unless they drop links to their book in a random tweet that you didn't ask for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Where's that floor?
And have a happy Pride!
Pride! I'm so excited.
Let's be very gay.
For once.
Yeah, it's not like us to be very gay.
No, we're gonna be unleashed. And I shall see you later, Legato.
In a while, crocodile.
Peace out, homies.
Thank you for listening to Swords and Sapphics. You can enjoy a new episode every Wednesday.
While waiting, you can visit our website, swordsandsapphics.com, and find lots of articles, interviews, and guest pieces.
Feel free to contact us with any requests, questions, or inquiries through a form on our website or directly to our email, swordsandsapphicspodcast@gmail.com.